listening to Building Arizona, a podcast about the people that build this great state of ours. From general contractors, subcontractors, suppliers, and anyone we run into that has something to do with the process of building. Now, here's your host, Mike Colberly.
Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My guest is a guy by the name of Pat Bushell. He owns and runs Phoenix Building Components. He does roof trusses. He sells lumber. He's been in the Valley for many years. He's actually married to my sister. So we've kind of been in the business together for a long time. He's a good dude. I hope you enjoy the show. It was a lot of fun. He's got a lot of good information. He's a very smart guy. So enjoy the show. Hello, Pat. How are you?
Hello, Mike. I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. Good. Thanks for joining me today.
Anytime.
So tell us a little bit about what you do.
I build roof and floor trusses and for new construction.
How long have you been doing that?
Since about 30 years.
Jeez, that's a long time. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. Like, where are you from? How'd you end up in the business?
Well, I grew up in Northern Illinois and started installing carpet up there when I was young and didn't care for the winters. So I moved to South Florida, Pompano Beach, and started doing carpet down there and didn't really enjoy it anymore and wanted for a new change. So my stepbrother was a truss designer at a plant in South Florida, and he offered me a job.
Yeah.
Working out in the yard.
Yeah. So you literally started from the bottom.
Yep. $5.50 an hour.
What? Jeez. How could you ever do that?
56 hours a week. My paycheck was like $226.
But you felt probably happy to even be making that kind of money.
Well, I looked at it as an opportunity. After working in the yard every day, I would come into the office and they would show me how to do stuff for free. They would show me how to design and how to use the programs back then, and how to they would teach me the business, and I didn't have to pay for it. Didn't have to go to college or use any of my money. They would do it for free.
That's amazing. We need, seems like we need a lot more of that today.
And I would work from about 5:30 to about 8 o'clock every night and for free. And I learned quite a bit about the business.
So don't you agree that, either we need a little bit more of that today? Plus we need people like us as young men that wanted to do that extra thing to get into any kind of business.
Well, it seems like today's world, everybody wants to know how much you're going to get paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
When I had, up in 2005, I had about 200 employees, and we would hire a new guy. And a lot of times I told him, I said, I really can't spend a lot of time with you during the day, but if you wanted to stay past 5 o'clock or come in on Saturday, I'd, you know, spend all day with you teaching you all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Very few people took me up on that. You know, they looked at that as their time, and if they weren't getting paid for it, they weren't going to be there.
Well, yeah. So that reminds me of when I was framing, when I first started out in the framing business, I would stay late with my foreman and learn how to snap lines on the floor and lay out walls. And then when I became a foreman, I would, after my guys would go home, I would prepare for the next day. And then everybody say, oh, well, you're working for free. No, because if I make this house in the budget that I was given, mm-hmm. I get a bonus.
Yeah, you'd be all set up, ready to work the next day with everything lined out, knowing what you're building and how you're going to go about your day with
right.
your crew.
Yeah.
And, you know, not many people want to do that.
Yeah. I don't know how we can get back to that other than I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it. But not everybody needs to go to college, in my opinion. We need tradesmen, and we're realistically running out of people.
When I started, one of my goals was to take my boss's job,
mm-hmm.
to push my boss out. I considered them the old dogs, you know, the guy yeah. that was 40 years old and had 20 years experience. And I'm like, man, I want your job.
Don't you want somebody working for you that kind of has that attitude?
I've had very few people that want my job, that want to push me out. I'm still have to be the innovator in most cases in my business.
Right.
When I was first starting, I was coming up with new ideas, trying to push the envelope and all that. And now I've had like one or two employees in 30 years that actually wants my job and wants to do more and come up with new innovations that we could use to run our business more efficiently.
Do you think that's ever coming again, like coming around?
I don't really see it.
Yeah. What's it going to do to us, do you think?
Well, I think it's we're, you know, the quality tradesmen, they're just not there anymore.
Yeah.
And we're losing a lot of jobs to Amazon, mm-hmm. factory jobs, and In-N-Out pays $14 an hour now. So mm-hmm. people are going to In-N-Out and they look at the, you know, pretty coworkers instead of working out in the field with a bunch of construction guys.
Yeah. But not knowing the potential of amount of money you can make down the road.
Right.
You can be a business owner. You can run a crew. You can get a company truck. You know, they can send you home with a $30,000 rig that, you know, that costs you zero.
Right. As an industry, we thought about going to high schools and community colleges and doing demos on about our business and about our trade and all that mm-hmm. as a trust association in Arizona. And we've done a little bit of it in the past, but we haven't done, you know, as much as is required to let people know about these jobs that we have out there. There's been such a negative look at labor jobs and trades jobs over the last 10 years that, you know, they're, you know, trying to get everybody to go to college and get a cushy desk job, but
I mean, wear a tie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
go to college for 4 years with $100,000 in debt and get your first job and you're making about $24,000 a year.
Yeah. 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 I know.
But, you know, the thing about the trades, whichever one you pick and I mean, you could make real good money and own a business and have employees and do really well for yourself.
Yeah, and have the freedom to kind of do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You got to manage that, but there's a lot of benefits in my opinion. I mean, there is some stress, mm-hmm. obviously, you know, being a business owner, having to deal with employees but there is some freedom and some.
I'm 30 years in the job and I still enjoy going to work every Monday.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing the job and learning more about it. And, you know, every sale is a plus. And, you know, I continue to work hard and try to get better at what we do.
Yeah. Well, I've obviously known you for many, many years. How do you think the business has changed from when you first started? Like, you think it's, how do we get to a point where it gets back to being a productive industry?
Well, the biggest thing with the industry is, and I tell new employees and I tell people that been in it for a year or two, the things that are wrong with the business, they're always going to be wrong with the business. The things that were wrong 30 years ago are still wrong now. And you can't let that stuff bother you. I mean, we still get people calling up and need product tomorrow, mm-hmm. right? They've been working on this house for 8 months and all of a sudden they're calling us and they want product tomorrow. That's just the nature of the business. I mean, that's what we've been doing forever and that's not going to change. The quality of the blueprints out there, they've always been horrible.
Yeah.
You know, we always thought that once they went to CAD, computer drawings, they would be better quality.
Mm-hmm.
They're not any better. The CAD has opened it up to less qualified people drawing plans.
Right.
So they're just as bad.
Right. That makes sense.
They're a little cleaner, but the information's not there. So that's one thing that we've been dealing with forever. I get some employees that say, oh man, this job would be so much better if the plans were good and we had plenty of time to do it and our software worked properly. And then I look at them, I said, yeah, that would be great because I could just go down to any high school and pick up a kid mm-hmm. to punch in data entry and outspits the product.
Right.
Pay them $15 an hour instead of paying you $30.
Right.
So then they look at me and they go, oh. So it's kind of important that these plans are wrong. And
it's almost job security.
It is.
Yeah. So, and that's why people will pay you to provide a product versus, oh, this is easy, I can do it myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a needed trade.
The advantage of innovation of cell phones and tablets and smartphones and all that has been wonderful in the construction business.
Sure.
With phones and pictures and being able to send pictures of any issues and right away instead of the old days of sending a fax machine or coming to the office and that. And, you know, we all pretty much have smartphones and tablets on the job that we could see, look up emails and beam sizes, whatever we need.
Yeah.
With that.
If you need, you got a framing contractor has to modify a truss, God forbid, or something breaks on the thing, they can send you a picture and say, hey, can you get me a repair on this? And,
yeah,
and it keeps the jobs running.
And before the smartphones, it was just, they'd call you up and, you're in the middle of another job. Mm-hmm. They're going to call you up and say, hey, I got that truss in the kitchen. It's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the bottom's broken. And you're like, what job?
Yeah.
You know, what are you even talking about? Which, now... they could send you a picture with a description of where the truss is, and then when you finish what you were doing, you could devote the time to doing that repair, pulling it out, and looking at it later, which is saves us all a lot of time.
Yeah. So how's your customer base? How's that going?
Well, a lot of the customers I've had for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get a customer, and I consider my customer for life.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys I've had for 20 plus years. I've been in the Valley since 1992 doing trusses. So a lot of them I have, and when I get a new one, I plan to keep them.
Yeah.
I tend not to deal with any people that are a pain in the ass, difficult, like to yell and scream and then not pay their bill.
Right.
It's really important that they pay their bill on time.
Well, they get preferential treatment.
Yeah.
I mean, you get put right to the front of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So paying your bill allows me to keep prices down and allows me to run my business more efficiently.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that being a superintendent for a custom home builder, that if I am a screamer, which, I may have been back in the day, nobody's going to want to come to my jobs. And if, they have to, they will. But I like to develop a relationship with my trades and, try to keep it, business, but have some camaraderie and, so they know like, oh, that guy's pretty cool. I'll go.
Well, we're all pretty much problem solvers.
Yeah.
And we have to look at that as working together to solve a problem and fix that problem and go on to the next one.
Yeah, you just want to get it done and get paid and move on.
Right.
Yes, that's a beautiful house, but we're not in it to, oogle for the rest of our lives on it. We're moving on to the next one.
And in my stage, these beautiful houses, I never see them. I mm-hmm. see them at frame stage. I never see them when they're built.
Yeah. You rarely get to go back and take a look, but you know what it is.
Right, right.
What else do you... what else do you like to do for fun, on the weekends, after hours? I know I think I remember or recall that you're kind of into motorcycles.
Yeah, I got a couple old motorcycles in the garage.
Just so everybody knows, Pat and I used to race. We used to road race years ago, back when the things were booming. We had ourselves a little race team, and it was kind of fun. We used to travel a lot. But Pat is back into it.
I'm back into collecting and rebuilding and putting bikes back together. It's kind of, instead of going to the bar or casino or going out to eat, I tend to spend a lot of time in the garage and just buying motorcycles cheap and then trying to build them up. I typically don't sell them.
Yeah.
My wife complains that when I buy a bike and tell her I got it real cheap and I can make money on this one, she says, yeah, but you're never going to sell it.
Yeah. Or you just tell her that it's mine.
Yeah. So in 15 years ago, I had some real special motorcycles that when the housing industry took a dump, I had to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And the value of a couple of those bikes have gone through the roof. I actually saw yesterday at the Mecum auction, an RC30 went for $115,000.
Oh, what exactly did you have? Like, I know you had one, but I don't remember what year it was.
Well, there was only 1 year imported into the U.S., and there was around 300 of them, and it was a 1990, and mine had less than 3,000 miles on it.
Jeez.
And this one sold. This one sold yesterday was a 0 mile bike. And sold
what?
It was fresh out of the crate.
Wow, how'd that?
Well, when they came out in 1990, they were $15,000. Where a normal big bike was about $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't sell very well, and they weren't a good street bike. They had a real tall first gear, gave off a lot of heat. So at $15,000, they just sat in the dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
And they really didn't sell.
Because that was a lot of money for a bike.
Yeah, it was over twice as much as a standard bike.
Yeah.
So they just sat there. So there was a lot of them that were in crates and in the back of dealerships and all that. But there, a lot of the guys that can't afford cars at Barrett Jackson now are picking up some of these older motorcycles. So.
It blows me away on how much some of these bikes are costing these days. Well, I mean, the technology's kind of cool. I guess that might be what you're paying for, but
yeah, they do a lot of different stuff with traction control and ABS. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of computers on the bikes now and everything. But the sales of motorcycles have been steadily going down. A lot of these new millennials aren't really into cars and motorcycles like we were growing up.
Yeah.
They're more into Ubers and ride sharing
going to the bars.
Yeah, and instead of actually having a motorcycle to ride around.
Right. Yeah. As my grandfather used to call them, murder cycles.
Yeah.
He goes, "You're not going to be riding one of them murder cycles."
Right.
And, of course, that's all I wanted growing up was one of those murder cycles. Yep. Good times. Are you ever going to get back on the track?
I'm going to do track days here and there. I think my racing days are over. At over 50 years old, I really not prepared to give 100% out on the racetrack.
And not doing that can be dangerous as well.
Yeah. So track days here and there, I think at some fun tracks, you know, is always going to be fun.
Yeah. What else do you like to do? Pretty much it. Hang out in your garage.
That's pretty much it.
I actually like hanging out in your garage. It's kind of fun.
Try to ride my bicycle when I can.
Yeah. Road bike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't been doing it as much as I should be doing.
Mm-hmm. That actually takes some time and is dangerous as well.
Yeah.
I used to ride one, and all I would do is stress out on getting clipped by somebody texting, kind of swerving over and not realizing it. People die from that.
I live pretty close to the New River Trail, so you could go out there at night or you know, and there's no cars, there's no traffic or anything. There is coyotes at night when you see them out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at least you don't have those big metal things chasing you down.
Giant 8 million pound cars.
Mm-hmm.
With cell phones in hand. So what do you see coming up in the next few years as far as business goes?
Well,
you're confident?
I'm a little worried about home prices in the Phoenix area. Phoenix has always used to be real cheap.
Mm-hmm.
For new houses, and it's not that way anymore.
Why do you think that's going on?
Well,
because it can?
Yeah, the prices have just been going up and up and up, and it's not affordable anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I think the median home price is about $225, $240, yeah, something like that. And
when it used to be $120,
yeah,
maybe.
In 95, I bought a brand new 2,200 square foot house for $130,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, these new starter homes, 1,200 feet, are $220, $240. So I think we're going to have an issue coming up with our home prices.
I was just talking to my son, my youngest, who will be 18 in June. You know, he's not really wanting to go to school. And I said, which is fine. Not everybody has to go to college, but he's very smart. And but I was talking to him. I said, it's not as easy as it was like when you and I were his age. We'd move out and we can get an apartment, you know, a two-bedroom apartment for $500 a month and have a roommate. now everything's 1,000 or more, and it's just like, I don't know how they're going to do it. I really don't. So
yeah, I mean, definitely the prices are going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. We still have a lot of people moving here. The weather's still fantastic 9 months out of the year. But I think the home price issue is going to be coming to the forefront pretty soon.
What's it going to do?
Well,
like,
I mean,
put a halt on the home building business?
I think it will eventually.
So we've found that, you know, we do a lot of homes in Central Phoenix. We'll buy a house, scrape it, and put a, you know, build a new house on it. Well, the margins are so small and that we're having to move out of, you know, out of Central Phoenix and head north. Like, you know, we've got
we've got
one going on at like 16th Street Northern.
Some of those houses you'd buy for $400,
mm-hmm.
do a $350,000 renovation,
mm-hmm.
so you got $750 in it, and then you'd sell the house for $825,000, $850,000,
right?
Possibly,
right.
And that's not enough return on that.
That's what I mean. The margins are.
You hold on to that house an extra 6 months.
Yeah.
And you know there goes your profit.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those houses, I think looking at different areas are going to be coming up pretty soon.
Well, we're already heading to North Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. So it's just, which bums me out because I really love this area. I like the style of homes. And
the Arcadia area has changed a lot over the last 10 to 15 years.
That's another one of my favorite places.
It used to be always a lot of old money and nice homes, and now it seems like a lot of the people from Scottsdale mm-hmm. are moving there, and the demographics are changing quite a bit.
That's like my favorite place in Phoenix. It's Arcadia. It's just beautiful.
My daughter loves it. She goes by to pick up checks and takes pictures of all the houses. And
she works with you?
Yes.
Nice. How's she doing?
She's doing real well. She started in March.
Uh-huh.
The key to that is I have a coworker that's been training her.
Not you?
Yeah. If I had to train her, I think she would have lasted a month, and that's about it.
Yeah. Well, that's how it always goes. Yeah, we even talked about having my youngest come work for us, and I was like, well, as long as he doesn't have to, you know, if I don't have to lead him.
Well, it seems like they're so fragile mm-hmm. now that.
Well, I have boys too. You have all girls.
So you really have to be careful how you talk to them now, or
mm-hmm.
you know, if you raise your voice, all of a sudden they're like, well, they're not supposed to be doing that. And
mm-hmm.
so it's a lot different than it used to be. I mean, when I started working, you know, I tried to work so hard and learn so much that I didn't get yelled at,
mm-hmm.
because getting yelled at was a common occurrence.
Right. You tried to avoid it.
Yeah. Name calling and everything.
Yeah. Especially in our business, you know, you being a framer is the things that I heard on job sites. If you heard those same things today, it would blow your mind. And there would be people being sued. It's definitely not like it was. Right. I mean, we would make fun of people. I was made fun of. All I wanted to do was work hard and get through the day and work my way up.
Right.
And avoid, you know, somebody filling my nail bags up with chalk and water, or, you know, putting the forklift up against the J-John, you know. But it was fun. That was the fun part of going to work.
Nowadays, you tell a new guy to go get the toenails, and he's going to file a report.
Yeah, it. Yeah. Go ask that foreman down the street for the bubble fluid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I miss those days. I want them back. I just don't see it happening. My two boys are a little different, though. I think just having me as their father has made it, you know, somewhat doable for them if they had to be in that situation, because they know that life's not freaking easy. I wouldn't know what to do with girls.
They're definitely difficult.
You're just overrun in that house. Is that why you may be a little introverted?
Yeah. That's why I spent a lot of time out in the garage with the motorcycle.
Because they're not sensitive and they don't talk back?
No.
Yeah. So what else you got coming up? What else? What else is on the horizon for Phoenix Building Components?
We're just trying to grow our business. Last year, we grew our business by 75%.
That's good.
This year, I would be amazed at 75%. I don't think that's doable.
Mm-hmm. Sustainable, but, maybe?
Yeah, not. It, you know, if we could grow 20 to 30%, I would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're doing other things too. We do design work for other companies,
mm-hmm.
In out of state. We do some for some places in town. So just trying to grow our business in as many ways as possible.
You also sell lumber packages too, correct?
We do some lumber too for preferred customers, mm-hmm. and that. Which lumber is a little different animal. It's similar, but it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot more time for less money.
I think it's crazy when the economy hit on how many people went away. Well, and it's not because they were, you know, weak, or it was just kind of, it was actually kind of sad.
Some of the smart people just decided, I'm not going to do stuff for free for 5 years, mm-hmm. until it comes around. And they just decided not to waste their money to stay in business.
Yeah.
Some of the other companies stayed in business for 5 years and had way too much overhead and employees and everything. And, and you know, ended up going through all the reserves.
Yeah.
So.
Gosh, I remember those days. I'd go pick up checks, you know, twice a month from like some of these builders, and there would be over $2 million a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and the margins that were going around, it was just nuts. I mean, there was so much money being spread around back then. But I like it. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. And the most challenging thing is getting things done, you know, in a productive time frame, you know, maintaining schedules.
A lot of that we have to be better at our jobs as being leadership or supervision, mm-hmm. and that we, since labor's as bad as it is, we have to do our schedules better. And, mm-hmm. and so it puts onus on us to make things happen instead of, you know, just blaming it on labor and mm-hmm. other issues.
Right. As long as, you know, in my position to have everything available to the subs and giving them, you know, everything they need to get their job done when they need to be there. But getting them to get there is the hardest part.
Right.
Because, oh man, I'm 4 weeks out. Well, I scheduled you 5 weeks ago.
Right.
So it's just, that's the challenging part.
In our industry, years ago, if you got busy, you would just put an ad in the paper and hire 15 guys this week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not going to get 15 guys now.
Yeah.
So there's different equipment available. A lot of automated equipment is being developed and used. Saws that operate by themselves.
Yeah.
Tables that set up by themselves. So that stuff is key to our future. Is more automation and better equipment, better. Managing techniques and that, you know, to combat that.
What do you think? So in order to, you're always going to have people that have to put their hands on the product to assemble it and all this stuff. How do we get these younger kids, to be excited about wanting to be in the truss business, out in the, you know, in the yard, putting together trusses, to want to work up to being the shift leader or get into the office? How do we get these kids to come out and want to do this? Just education, training? Does somebody need to start a company that trains, like a framing company trains, you know, these young kids how to frame, or, you know, I don't know.
Well, I think the biggest thing is knowing that these jobs are available. Most of these kids are taught their whole lives that, you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, mm-hmm. or this and that. And a lot of the trades haven't been talked about. You know, a lot of these kids don't even know these jobs exist out there.
How do we change that, in your opinion?
Well, I think we got to do a little bit of you know, going into the high schools and talking to somebody's kids, and you know, as we get older, each one of us has to take it upon ourselves to maybe take a couple guys and mentor them and teach them the ropes.
You think they're out there, though?
I think there are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I sure hope there are.
Well, I have a friend who owns and operates a metal fabrication company, and he will go to high schools on his own and talk to these kids and end up getting a couple, and you know, some work out, some don't, but that's where he's starting. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you would have the accessibility to throw that in place. You know, who do you approach?
Well, I mean, I used to do some stuff with some guidance counselors at some of the trade schools, like mm-hmm. the drafting schools, the ITT. I've hired a couple guys 20 years ago out of those schools,
mm-hmm.
and they're still in the business.
That's good.
But I think we have to do a little bit more of that stuff and have training programs in our businesses that are a little more evolved than what they were in the old days. Just throwing a guy on the crew. As a framing company, you may have to bring guys in an office, in a warehouse, and show them how to frame walls, you know, or watch tapes and do a little demos with this is how we're going to frame mm-hmm. this wall. And I think continuing education is bringing your framers and truss guys and for training.
Mm-hmm. Or just letting them know how much you can make as a framer, a plumber, an electrician. I mean, you can make $60,000-$80,000 a year.
Yeah, and more.
And more. And
you could go to six figures easily.
Right. And you know, it's hard work, but you teach them to work smart and not hard, which is that's the key.
Right.
I mean, I just wish there was more people talking about it, because we are definitely running out of labor. And it's the way it sounds, or the way you put it, makes it sound bad, like labor. Oh, we need labor. We need laborers. Well, not everybody's a laborer. You know, you'll be that guy that's going to lead a crew, or, you know, someday maybe start your own business.
The work ethic doesn't seem to be the same as it used to be.
Well, I think if there's rewards, if they know what's out there, then that might change things. But I just don't, you know, everybody might think a framer or somebody working out in the yard is just an endless menial task type job, which it's not. I mean, I remember starting and thinking, wow, this is hard work, but I want to be the boss.
Yeah. The individual is the limit to their future. I mean, you could own the company. You could start your own company. Mm-hmm. You could be supervisor of many. You know, it could be endless,
mm-hmm. but it's starting, you know, at the high school level, throwing it out there to these kids that, hey, these jobs are available. If you work hard, you're going to make good money. I mean, it can be a career. We need people to have those careers. So I don't know. It's just kind of strange sometimes to think about how to get people back. You know, you just need some innovators, some people to actually do it, right?
Yeah.
And business owners. I mean, you're the kind of guy that's going to need those people. So who, you know, is it worth making that step? You know, you talk to other owners in your industry and go to these conventions or whatever. And
we always talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we always talk what we should do. We do very little besides talking about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's something that we have to go out there and you know, even if you could grab 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals and give them a shot, but it's a little bit more than just putting them on the line. I mean, you have to take an effort into training them.
Yeah, and find out who's the one you really want to put the effort into.
Right.
But you'll always have people that will take advantage of that and move on to something else. I mean, that just happens.
Right.
But good on them. They'll start a company or whatever, and they'll hire people. So it really works out to be the same. Competition is a good thing.
I definitely have people that I train that are running their own companies,
sure.
Owners now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You ever thought about doing anything else?
I've thought about doing other stuff. The big problem is most of the stuff that I want to do doesn't pay anything.
Yeah, but if it's supplemental, maybe.
We've been talking about maybe building a spec home this year.
Mm-hmm.
Either in the valley to, or even up in a vacation rental up in the up north somewhere.
Yeah. That's actually kind of a good idea.
It all depends on a lot of the lot price, land prices in the Phoenix area are really high.
Mm-hmm.
Up north, you could still buy lots in the 20s.
Yeah.
So we may do something like that and have a little vacation home, but, you know, maybe in a VRBO or something like that.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I just feel like it might benefit me.
You could spend the month up there in the summer and, mm-hmm. and get out of this.
Run your business from up there.
You can.
Yeah. Telecommute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. What else? What else is going on? Come on, Pat. Open up. Let's do this.
No, that's pretty much it.
What's your wife been up to? I know she had a daycare for a while.
My wife recently quit working in August, and she worked, and she worked about at least 12 hours a day for a while.
This is my sister we're talking about,
and
everybody.
In August, she kind of stopped her job, and surprisingly, her days have been full. She's been doing a lot of stuff and staying busy. We're doing some stuff with our house. Our house is 19 years old, and a lot of the stuff that was in 1999 is not in right now.
Yeah,
we got a lot of Mexican tile in our bathrooms that, you know, is just out of style now. That we're going through and replacing some flooring and stuff and painting and drywall work. So. Our kids are just about out. Our youngest daughter's 20. She still lives at home, but probably for not too much longer.
Yeah, you have some good kids for sure.
So we're going to be empty nesters soon.
Yeah. And you office out of your
my office is at my home. I still manage to put about 27,000 miles a year on my vehicle.
Running around measuring jobs.
Yeah, with no commute miles.
Well, you guys have been doing a lot of stuff too.
Right, and we do it anywhere. So,
well, I just mean personally, like you and Michelle have been doing a lot more stuff now that she's not been working, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, we've been getting along better too, which is good. You know, when she was working all the time and mm-hmm. I was working all the time, we didn't really spend much time together.
So. Right. Yeah. It's kind of annoying because you guys are always gone now. Anyways. Well, Pat, thank you so much for doing the show. I think people will get a nice little insight of what you are up to, how you think, how your business is. You want to talk about your business a little bit before we wrap this up?
I just want to know what's my parting gift. Two-month supply of rice and roni?
Yeah. I got some mac and cheese in there we can whip up real quick if you want. Anyways, people, thank you so much. Pat Bushell with Phoenix Building Components. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for joining in to today's podcast. I really appreciate Pat Bushell coming by. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him down the road, see what he's been up to. It's been a fun day, and hope to keep building on this platform. So appreciate you all. Don't forget to subscribe and listen to wherever you can get this podcast. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, etc., etc. Thank you so much. Have a great day.